Okay, the boys say today's daf is daf Chof Ches. We're holding the Mishnah on Chof Zayin Amid Beis. Look, the Mishnah Amar B'Zachariah ben Hakatzav. B'Zachariah ben Hakatzav, a rare name that you find, but we had B'Zachariah ben Hakatzav yesterday, as you recall. He was involved in a story with a Shvuya in Ashkelon. We had him back exactly one blot ago, Chof Vav Amid Beis, Rabbi Yossi HaKoyin, B'Zachariah ben Hakatzav. Anyway, what does it say in our Mishnah? B'Zachariah ben Hakatzav, as we'll see in the Gemara momentarily, was a Kohen. And unfortunately, he and his wife were inside a city where the city was besieged by Goyim. And, as we'll see further in the Mishnah, apparently this took place at the time of the Churban Beis HaMikdash HaSheni. And therefore, it's highly appropriate that we are learning this Mishnah and this Gemara these days, the 9 days when the Goyim unfortunately entered the Beis HaMikdash and eventually destroyed it on Tisha B'Av. So B'Zachariah ben Hakatzav makes a Shavua, and he says, HaMo'in HaZeh. Machloik is exactly what the Mo'in is referring to. Either it's referring to the Beis HaMikdash, or it's referring to one of the 7 Rikiyim, which is enumerated in Masechtas Chagiga, upstairs in Shemayim. Kadosh Baruch Hu, Habeit Mim'oin Kodshoi. So the Mo'in could be the Beis HaMikdash, it could be from one of those 7 Rikiyim. Anyway, Vushtait, he swore, that my wife and I were together the entire time, from the moment that the Goyim went into Yerushalayim, and Chas V'Shalom, who knows what they did in Yerushalayim, but you don't have to worry about my wife, she was with me the entire time, until they finally left. Amrulai, based on his own edus, Reb Zachariah ben Hakatzav was hoping that the Chacham would say, no problem, your wife remains kosher to you. Says the Mishnah, Amar Loi, Eino Demeid Al Atzmi. Unfortunately, you're not believed on yourself. If you can go and bring other edim, that's good. But if not, you're stuck, your wife will be asura to you. Though the reason why the Mishnah used the expression, Eino Demeid Al Atzmi, number one, it could be referring to the fact that a wife is considered to be a plag gufa, and so therefore when you're being made on behalf of your wife, you're being made on behalf of yourself. However, you don't need to come on to that. It's much simpler. Since if she were to be deemed asura labala, then that affects him just like it affects her. And therefore, by being made that nothing happened to her, he was trying to save his marriage, that he should be able to continue living with his wife. Because as we know, a chas v'shalom, a woman that's ne'ensa, even through goyim, becomes asura lebala, if the baal is a kohen. And here, Reb Zachariah ben Hakatzav was a kohen, so he was trying to go and save his marriage, save his wife. And, says the Mishnah, unfortunately, you can't be made al atzma, you're going to have to go and bring edim. Tona, into the Gemara, the afu pikein, nevertheless, Rabbi, please put yourself on mute. Zat Moichel. V'yavu pikein yichad labayis bechatzeroi. Nevertheless, because he felt very close to her, and he didn't want to go and eject her and reject her, so what he did was, in the same chotzer where he lived, he gave her a special bayis, her own house, so that they could continue living in the same chotzer. However, that chas v'shalom, they shouldn't come lidei bia, because if that would happen, there would be an Isur. He was careful that there was never a moment of Yichud. So what did he do? Whenever she would leave the Chotzer, for instance, she would leave the house and then the Chotzer to go to the market or wherever she was going, she would always go the first one before her children, so that her children were left behind after she left. And the other way around, when she entered into the chotzer and into her bayis, she made sure that the banim went in first. So there was never a moment of time where the two of them, that is, Reb Zachariah ben Hakatzav and his former wife, were within the same chotzer by themselves, because at all times the children were there. So, boya bayis. Yeah, what's your question?
Yes. Why are we abandoning that principle which allows so many times people who have a negius to something to testify and say, no, here's their prohibited. What happened to their principle?
Eidechad Nemisun doesn't refer to Aroyis, because by Dovah Sheba'erva, in Dovah Sheba'erva Pochus Mishnayim, because it says in the Pasuk, Yimotzi B'chor Erva's Dovah, and then we learn Dovah Dovah Mimomen, Ap Mishnayim, Meshloish Eid Miyakam Dovah, so you always have to have two. In the case of Shavuya, which is our case, Heikilu, and they allowed for Eid Echad. The reason is because by Shavuya we don't know for sure that the Goyim violated her or lived with her, it's only a Chashash. Because that Chashash, the same Rabbanan that said that we are nervous about Shvuya, they also said Eidechad Nemisun. And that's why we had yesterday and the day before that Eidechad means even Eved and even Shivcha. And there was a Shaila whether her own Shivcha, as you'll recall, whether she's also Neman. But in each and every case, it's got to be somebody else. The person is not Neman al Atzmai. And that's what we had, in fact, in the previous Mishnah. If you go back yesterday's Mishnah, where's the Mishnah? Oh, go back to Chav Zayin Amid Aleph. Back on the Amid Aleph. Ir Shekavshua Karkam Kol Shul Karkam. Kol Kehanashim Tzvetzoicha Psulois. That's our case. V'yimishlen Eidim Afila Eved Afila Shivcha. Even one Eid, one Eved, one Shivcha. Har Eil Nemonim. Vei Nemon Odom Al Yidei Atzvoi. But you're not believed on yourself. So yes, Eidechanan Bisurim. But not if it affects your own personal stake. Because if it affects your personal stake, obviously, a person has a negia, and Adam korovates a lot, and therefore he cannot be believed about himself or about his wife, that she was tohoirehi. Good?
Every woman is believed to say she's tar when she leaves the mikvah. And we don't, I don't want to stress the point, but just, it feels contentious with that principle that we allow every couple to live together. A woman says, I'm Tavar now, and she's a gambit of her, and we always say, well, Eidach and Emmet, we serve it. And here we're abandoning that. I'm just a little conflicted.
Here, when you're talking about a Shvuya, the Gemara says it's Raglayim the Dover. The fact that she was inside a city which was under siege, and in this case, our Mishnah says that the Goyim broke through. We know what Goyim typically do under these circumstances. When they have a free moment, they have a big Yetzirah. Even though the Yetzirah is not strong enough to be Menasach Yayin, it's strong enough to go and Chas V'Shalom be boil all of the innocent ladies. Now, do we know for sure? No. It's a Chashash. But there's a good chance. Since there's a good chance, we have to be nervous, and therefore all Kehanis by definition are Psulois unless proven otherwise. What's the reason why Bekahanas were so concerned? Number one, of course, it's an Issa D'Oraisa about a husband and wife living together if she was already Nensa. But moreover, Mal Osu B'Yuchsin when it comes to Kuhuna. We want Kuhuna to go and be as pure as possible and not have, Chas V'Shalom, anyone involved that is not totally pure. So, they are all Psulas. However, the same Chacham that said Psulas, the same Chacham said that if you have just one aid, even if the aid happens to be quote-unquote, an inferior aid in the sense that Eved or Shivcha, mutalach, mutalach. However, about yourself, you still not believe because you have a personal stake involved. On the
Gemara,
yes, sir.
Where she can marry, she can marry, where she, someone said her husband died, she can marry the aid.
Mm-hmm. Everything is correct, but the Borili is still after Eidus. In other words, here we're talking about the person is being made on himself or on herself. No good. If you have a third party, believed. So in your case, you had an Eid that saw the Ptira of her husband. Eidach Nambis, not Eidach Nambisor. Because of Iginu, Iguna, the Chachamim went and they were Mamin Echad Kishnayim. And it's also because we rely on her due diligence that she's going to be Doresh V'choker to make sure that the husband is dead. So the Gemara said, but there are two other Eidim that say otherwise. Your case of the Eid saying Barley and her saying Barley, The Gemara said, don't we have two and two? We have one aid, which is doima to two, that says that her husband died, particularly if you have two aidim. And then what happens if you have two aidim that say he didn't die, so you have two against two? How could she go and remain married to her husband? So Gemara says, talking about that he was one of the aidim, or, and she says barley. But that's all based on that you have the aid with you. Without aidim, you couldn't say barley and you couldn't get married. Anyway, getting back to Agumar. Boya Baya, Ma'ulas is Begrusha K. This story of Reb Lozer, Reb Zchari ben Akatzev, really pulls on our hearts that unfortunately he was no longer able to stay with his wife, but instead he was Meyachet Bayis Bechatzera. Freyti Mora, Ma'ulas is Begrusha K. Could a Koyin, or for that matter even a Yisrael, allow for his former wife, his divorcee, to live within the same Chatzer? Or am I concerned that Chas v'Shalom they're going to come Lidei Avera? And that's Abaye Shain. Ma'alas of Begrusha Kein. Ha'as of Huda B'Shvuyah Hekilu. In the case of Reb Zchari ben Akatzov and his wife, it was a Shvuyah. Shvuyah we had in the Gemara a few times. We're Mekel. That's why we allow even Ever or Shevcha to go and be made. Aval Ha'chaloi. But not in our case. Because in our case we're talking about a Grusha. And Grusha, there is no din of Grusha Hekilu. Maybe it makes no difference. So Kimar Toshima, the Sanya, we have a Brisa directly on point. What's the Brisa? The Sanya. Hamagarish Sishtoi Loitinosa Bishkunasai. Now this part of the Brisa is not talking about a situation with a Koyin and his wife or his former wife, the Grusha. Here we're talking about even a Yisrael. You have Yisrael who's living in a particular chatzer in his house, and you have now his former wife. Baruch Hashem, she found a new zivug and she remarried. Oh, wonderful news. After she remarries, she should not live bishchunasi in his same neighborhood. Our Gemara doesn't tell us what that means, neighborhood. However, Toisis on the Omer Aleph, Chavches, top Toisis, he says, Kedei Shchuna, third line, Dehainu Gimel Batim, that just make sure that the former husband and former wife don't live together within the same three batim if she remarries. What's the problem? Because if she remarries, says the bottom Rashi, Lefisha Makira, Bermi Zoysav, Ukri Zoysav, Shemiyavoy Lidei Aveira. Since they live in the same chatzar, yes, granted in different batim, but they're in the same chatzar, it's inevitable that they are going to pass each other in the chatzar from time to time. If not daily, at least every few days, and once a week, whatever. And each time they're going to pass each other, then he may give her a wink, and she may give him a wink, and one wink leads to another wink, leads to another wink, and chas v'sholem, they might come lidei avera. And she's an eishes ish because she has remarried. So therefore says a braisa, loitinasi, she should not remarry, and then live in the same shchuna within three batim. If it's beyond three batim, that's already okay. That's already enough of a distance between them. However, the imhoya koyin, if the husband wasn't just a Yisrael, but he was a koyin, even if she did not remarry, even if she remained a divorcee, loitadar imoy b'mavoy, she should not live together in the same mavoy with her former husband, because chas v'sholem might come lidei avera, even though she's not remarried. But since she happens to be a grusha, and her husband is a koyin and a grusha cannot get together. Now, a mavui, in our case, is a much larger distance than the shchuna. Because since Toysi says shchuna means three batim, mavui, as we know, means every mavui had a minimum of two chatzeirois. We learned this back in Erevin. And every chatzer had a minimum of two batim. So therefore, the mavui was, by definition, larger than the shchuna. And therefore, the Bryce is telling us is that because people are typically more mekel when it comes to Isurei Lavin than to Isurei Kores or Isurei Misa, everybody knows living with an Eishes Ish, that's real big time. Chas v'sholem, if there's Asra and there are two Eidim, the person could get Chalila Chenek for living with an Eishes Ish. So as long as you distance yourself at least three batim, okay, we're not concerned that you might come Lidei Aveira. But since by a koyin and a grusha, it's an iser lav, okay, iser lav is deraisa, but people still consider it to be a little bit lighter. Here the top toisa says, kimet pnuyi kille, he feels, She's not remarried. She's still single. And until recently, we were husband and wife. Ah, big deal. Koyim grusha. Blah, blah, blah. Therefore, they were machmir, says the Braisa. You can't even live in the same mavli. Continues the Braisa. Im hoye kvar cotton, if you had a small little shtetl, doesn't say how small is small, twice. 5 families, 10 families, 20 families. Zeh hoye maisa v'omr kvar cotton, nidon kishchuna, and there's another girsa kemavli, meaning that since it's such a small town, then again, all the townspeople meet from time to time, they go and pass each other in the street. So again, you have the same problems of potential Eishes Ish, if it's a Grusha of a Yisrael, and you have a potential problem of Isra Koyin, a Grusha le Koyin, if it's a Koyin and his Grusha. So, Kvar Koton Toynish, move out of this Kvar Koton, move to the next village, move to the next town, so you don't have these issues. Anyway, with this we have been Poishit, the Shaila of Abaya. Abaya said that Reb Chaya ben Akatsav allowed his former wife to go and stay in the same chotzer. He asked, is the same thing applied to Grusha or not? We see from this braisa that if he happens to be a kohen, which is the case of Chaya ben Akatsav, and she is his former wife, she is the Grusha, they're not allowed to be, not only can they not live in the same chotzer, they can't even live in the same mavoi. So we see that Grusha is taka more chomor, the din of Shvuya, but not by Grusha. So we push it to Shah. Now the Gemara says, we just said that the two are not allowed to live together in the same shchuna or in the same mavoi. What happens if each one wants to live there and they don't want to move? Who has to move first? She is the one that has to move. And he does not have to move because of her. We'll see in the Gemara shortly why we say that she is the one that has to move and not him. We'll see that in a moment. And the Braisa continues, Vim hoisa chotzer shalah. What happens if the chotzer belonged to her? Who nidcha mipanav? In such a case, then he is nidcha before her. Then it was he has to move and she can stay in her chotzer. So, dush state in the Braisa. But now, iboilu. The Gemara asks the Shaila. Hoisa chotzer shal shneima. What happens if the chotzer belonged to both of them? Now, normally it doesn't mean that the chotzer belonged to both of them. What it really means is that each one owned a bias in the same chotzer. Every chotzer in the good old days was a common courtyard in which you had 2, 3, 5 houses. So he owned the house, she owned the house in the same chotzer. Who's got to move? Does she have to move? Does he have to move? Let's go back to this braisa. He nidchas mipanav, that she's got to move because of him. So doesn't that answer the question? So do my eskinim, but let's see what the case is talking about. If the chotzer was exclusively his, in other words, he had a bias in the chotzer, she did not, no pshita, no v'shteitzach. He has a financial stake in this chotzer, she does not, no, she's got to move. V'yalim b'chotzer shalom, elam, are you going to tell me it's her chotzer? And we're saying that even in such a case, she has to move out. But Tanya, look at the price, and the price continues. Im hoisa chotzer shalom, who nidchami pana? If the chotzer is hers, she lives there, and he does not, he's got to move out. So oy bazoy el lav. So when does it say in the braisa he nidchas mipanav? It must be lav kei gavna. Isn't it talking about that it was a chotzer shel shneim? Each one of the two, the husband and wife, or the former husband and former wife, each one owns a bias in this chotzer. And nevertheless, the braisa says he nidchas mipanav. She's got to move. So the chayvin poishet our shayla. Talked about Nishkarai, Dilma de Ogemeger. Maybe it's talking about in the Braisa that both of them are just renters. He rented a house, she rented a house. In such a case, who has to leave? She has to leave, and it has been part of. But it could be if the chotzer belongs to both of them, maybe not. Tell me, what's Taka the Psak? If each one has a bias in the chotzer, who has to move? Toshima, we have a pasuk in Yeshaya. Yeshaya Novi is now telling the dire prediction that Hine Hashem mitaltelcha taltele gover, that unfortunately if Klal Yisrael is not going to go and atone for their sins, there'll be the destruction of the Beis HaMikdash, and Klal Yisrael is never going to be driven out of Eretz Yisrael to Bavel and to Chutz Laretz. And what type of driven out? Mitaltelcha means like swept away, taltele gover, the total of a gover of a man as opposed to of a woman. What does that mean? The amarav to tule gavra koshim in itza. The tilt of a gavra, if a person has to, if a man has to go and move his residence, and he has to flee from one town to the other, from one place to the other, it's much more difficult for him than it is for a woman. The Gemara doesn't say why it's more difficult. The Marsha in Masechta Sanhedrin says a svara, because when it comes to women, people are more compassionate. Marachma Allah. So if she needs to get a new residence, a new apartment, a new place, then people have more rachmanis. And if it's a man, you figure it out, mister. You're homeless, you'll sit in the subway station, or you'll sleep on one of the subway benches and cause a terrible stench and all the rest. So people have more rachmanis on a woman. It could be another pshat is, and on a very practical level, a woman is an akeres abayis. She's the one that sets up the household. So if you have to move from one place to another, she knows what to do to reestablish a new household, to go and put together a new kitchen, a new house. Well, for a man, he's more preoccupied usually with either learning or with business or both. So you go and say, go and find a house, go and find an apartment. How big, how small, where am I going to cook, how am I going to go and cook? So the woman usually has, it's usually an easier feat for her to have to go move than it is for the man. Okay, Tana Rabban. Love Ahimena Benichziel. Now, from here until the Mishnah, the Mishnah is going to deal with the issue. We have to go and separate the former husband and the former wife, so they shouldn't chash shalom bo lidei aveira. If it happens to be a former Eishes Yisrael, if she has remarried, and if it's an Eishes Koyin, even if she's single, we don't want there to be chash shalom, a potential michshol where the Yetzirah gets involved. So therefore, what happens if, while they were married, he borrowed from her some of the nichse maluk? For instance, she brought in the nichse maluk, she brought a gold watch, and he borrowed it from his wife, because it doesn't belong to him, nichse maluk belongs to her, and he borrowed and used it. And now the marriage, unfortunately, has come to an end, and she wants to get back her nichse maluk. Says the Braisa in the Fras, she should not go to his home and knock on the door and say, please give me back the watch, or give me back the kos, or whatever was borrowed, but rather she should go and send a shliach, because if she's going to engage her former husband in conversation, one word can lead to another word, and chalila they might have an issue. Om Rav Sheshes, the osel kamon ledina lo mizakim lu. Not only that, if you have the former husband and wife coming litigation in court, we will not go and listen to their din Torah if they come together. Rather, as the Gemara will say in another few lines, one of them should make sure to appoint an advocate on their behalf, such as a lawyer or whatever, but he or she should not come to Bezin at the same time with their former spouse, because even that can lead to potential problems. Rapapa Amar, worse than that, Shemutim Shabtinalu, if we see them coming to court, not only do we throw them out of court, we put them in chayrim. What business do you have getting together? Ravuna Brevishu Amar Negudi Nami Meginolei. We even go and give them patch. The word nagid is from a lashon of malchus. We even give them patch. Om Rav Nachman, Tana Be'evu Rabasi. I learned in Evu Rabasi. Rashi says Evu Rabasi is another name for Mesechtes Smachos. Mesechtes Smachos is one of those Mesechtes Kitanois that you usually find in the Vilna Shas at the end of Mesechtes Avodah Zarah. There are a bunch of short Mesechtes. One is Smachos, one is Tzitzis, Tefillin. Whole bunch of short Mesechtes. They don't have the same status as a Mesechta that we're familiar with, because the Rishonim and Achronim deem those quote-unquote Mishnayos in the Mesechtes Ketanos to be the status of Braisos, not the status of Mishnayos. Rashi Grada over here calls it a Mishnah. However, they comment on Rashi. Rashi doesn't mean Mishnah. Often Rashi, when it's referring to a Braisa, Rashi refers to it as Mishnah. Rashi is somewhat, I don't want to use the term loose, but often when he refers to a Braisa, the Rashi sometimes uses the term Mishnah or Masnisen or what have you. Anyway, but getting back to our Gemara, so Nachman said, I learned in Masechtas Machos, when is there this problem that the husband and wife should not get together after their marriage, when they were originally full-fledged married, because then, of course, they were intimate with one another and they know each other very well. And therefore, there might be that yetzahara, the desire to get back together. They never were intimate with one another. Barry's thinking to himself, but not in Yehuda, because in Yehuda they were. Okay, so we're talking about outside Yehuda. So, Mishin Sagarshim and Erisin, so since they were never that close, they were married, but married with a small M, not with a capital M. Therefore, Nefrasa Yidei Atzma, then she could go to her former husband's house and say, hey, give me back X, Y, and Z. Shein li begasbo, because they're not so close, they have to worry about that they might come the day of Erisin. And talking about Erisin, the Gemara tells us the story how Oris Varusasi the Asu Lekami Durava for a Din Taira, which we said before, stay away from coming together even to litigate against one another. So what did Rava do? See, the Gemara tells us Yosef Rav Adam Bar Masta Kameh, Rav Adam Bar Masta was sitting there. Uki Rava Shlucha Beintayu. And Rava said, I don't want to see both of you together in the courtroom at the same time. But rather, one of you should go and appoint a representative to represent you in court. Omer Rav Adam Bar Masta, Omer Rav Nachman. Didn't Rav Nachman just say a moment ago, Tana Beibu Rabasi, that if it's an Oris Varusa, you don't have to worry, She'ein Liboy Gasba. Amalei said, Rava, that's the general rule. But Kachazinan de Kagaisi Badodi. I saw the two former spouses that they were gasbadai, that they did act in an extremely comfortable manner with one another, and therefore I was concerned that even though the general rule is, by Oris Varusasai, they could come together, I don't have to point to Shliach, but I noticed that there was just a little bit too much comfortable talking one with the other. I said, better safe than sorry, and that's why I said, let's get a Shliach. Ikri Amri, another version of the same story, Le'uki Rav Shliach Bintayu, Rav did not appoint a Shliach, only Rav Adam Bar Masta, the one that was sitting there, and he said, Nekamar Shluch Bintayu, why don't you appoint a Shliach? After all, it's not good having the two together under the same roof. Who knows what's going to happen? Omer Leisa Rav said, don't you remember, Omer Rav Nachman, Tona Be'evor Abasi, that if it's only Oris Varusa, then she's allowed to come to his door to go and ask back her Nechsem Alug. Ein Liba Gaspa, this is Oris Varusa. Amalei, Sunavada Bar Masna, Rebbe, you didn't notice something. I did. Hani Mili Hechloi Gaisabadodi. That's a general rule that applies if they're not so familiar, not so comfortable with one another. Avhanika Chazina Luhunda Gaisabadodi. I saw the way they were sitting together in the courtroom, even though he's the plaintiff and she is the defendant, or vice versa. Nevertheless, I saw they were just a little bit too comfortable in talking to one another, and therefore we should appoint the Shliach. On to the next Mishnah.
One thing.
Yes.
Before we leave this Mishnah, how does it, Zachariah ben Akasov have lived then with his former wife in the same courtyard if all these Mishnah are saying he shouldn't do that? Was he defying it?
So the answer is that the Gemara must be talking about a situation where he did not give her a get. He didn't live with her because since she was, although she was not Nemtza, but because she was a Shvuya, we said in the prior Mishnah that all the Kohanim unfortunately are considered to be Psulois unless we have Edus otherwise. So the Chachamim would not allow them to go and live together, but he did not give her a get. Why didn't he give her a get? Perhaps he was hoping that eventually two Edom would rot. Now, you don't even need two Edom. The one aid would come on the scene, even just an Eved or a Shivcha, that would be able to say, yeah, Baruch Hashem, she's tired. So he didn't give her a get. How do I know he didn't give her a get? Because had he given her a get, what's Baye Shal on the bottom? Baye Baye Ma'olas is Begrusha Kein. What do you get? That in itself was a case of Grusha. Is the Chassim, he never gave her a get. He was just a Shvuya. And the Gemara said, B'Shvuya Kilo. If it's just a Shvuya, they were Mekel. Okay? On to the next Mishnah. Look to Mishnah. Remember, by a Grusha, if it's a case of that she remarried, that's an Eishes Ish. Even if she didn't remarry, if it's a Kohen like Reb Zachariah ben Katzav, there's an Isser to go and live together, to remarry, because it's a Kohen and a Grusha. However, if it's a shivuya, that's only a problem midraban, not minatoya. So the same rabbana will make her and say, yeah, yeah, you can live together in the same chatzir. Worst comes to worst comes to worst, chas v'shalom, if you go and live with one another, you've been oivin the rabbana. The rabbana felt that this wasn't enough of a concern that they had to go and merachik he from her, and they said, you can live in the same chatzir. But remember, they were very careful, they were never nisyachet, because at all times there were children there when she came in, when she went out, etc. On to the next mission. This is really not so much negeya to us, it's more a hilchas edus. As you know, Masechtas Ksubis is considered to be shas katan, because Ksubis goes through so many different sugyas that have absolutely nothing to do with Ksuba per se. This is one of those cases that we're now talking about the inyan of being made edus. Of course, we had earlier mishnayos in our parak about being made edus. We started off with the inyan of pesha osir, pesha hitter. So you have two edim that said zek sav yadenu, beranusim hayinu, psulim hayinu, etc. So we're talking weiter in that type of framework about edus. The following you can be made when you become a gadol mashiro bekaitner. Meaning, you have a child, you have a person who comes to Bezdin, there is a shaila which is being dealt with by the Bezdin. The aid that's coming in is, let's say, 20 years old. He's obviously a gadol. However, the edus that he is recounting, that he is testifying to, happened, for instance, 10 years earlier, when he was only 10 years old. Is he qualified to be an aid? Obviously, today he's more than bar mitzvah. But since he's telling edus which took place when he was still a katan, is that good or not? And that's what our Mishnah is addressing. In the following case, the eil is not referring to the people. It's referring to the subject matter. In the following subject matters, we believe and we allow to testify a person who is now a gadol based on what he saw when he was a katan. Zok the Mishnah. Neman adam loy mezek sav yodi shel abba vezek sav yodi shel rabbi vezek sav yodi shel ochi. We spoke about, in fact, the kiyum shtarois, and that was the Mishnah that we quoted a moment ago about the two edim that said ksav yedenu, etc. So now, this cotton, who's now a gadol, says, I remember when I was 10 years old, I saw my father sign checks, I saw my father sign letters, sign documents, so I am familiar with his handwriting. Yeah, this is the handwriting of my father. Or he says, I know my Rebbe's handwriting. I saw him sign a psak din, a letter, a shiur. He signed on the bottom. I recognize his handwriting. And I recognize my brother's handwriting. So he's believed in all of these. The Gemara, by the way, is going to go through every one of these cases and establish why, in fact, do we believe him, since his zikaron is from an age when he was immature, when he was a katan. So that gets us back into Masechtas Ksubis, where, remember, we had a machlokes before, we had a shayla before, that the husband says, when I married you, you were an almana, and she says, I was a psula. How do we prove it? If she was yatsabi numa, if at the time of marriage she was wearing hinuma, remember we had two pshatim and hinuma, the second pshat of hinuma, the Gemara said, meant a thick veil, where it was so thick that she couldn't see anybody or anything, so that from time to time she might doze off wearing it. That was only a psula used to wear such a thick veil. Kurosha Perua. Or that she came in without wearing her, or without her head being covered by either a sheitel, or by a tichel, or a hat, or whatever. So that's a simon that she was a psula. So we believe a 20-year-old that says, I was at the chasana when I was 10 years old. And I remember you had this Gemara simile a couple of days ago, where a child says about his chaver in class, I remember my fellow fifth grader, that every single day his father would pick him up and take him to the mikveh to go in toivel, to be able to eat truma at night. So I remember that when I was 10 years old. And I remember that this fellow used to come to take Truma al Hagoyin. I was only 10 years old, but I remember it like today. And this particular plot of land over there, that's a base of pras, which has a din of potential tumah d'rabbanan. We'll see Mitchum on the Amid Beis more about Beis HaPras. But kana yino boin b'Shabbos, and I remember on Shabbos we used to go for a walk after eating the cholent on Shabbos afternoon, and we would always stop over here. We wouldn't go beyond that because that was the Tchum Shabbos. Aval ein adam neman loymar derech hayil b'loyni b'mokam hazeh, maimin emisbet hayil b'loyni b'mokam hazeh. However, he's not believed to go and say that Ploini, that Yankel, had a right of way through Beryl's field, either to go through a shortcut, or that Chas v'Sholem, if Yankel ever had any family members that passed away, they used to have maimodois and public hespedim out in the open. So I remember that Yankel used to go into Beryl's field, and he would go and set up a table and chairs, as if it was a chapel, and said, okay, Rabbi Yisai, we're going to have a spedim over here, we're going to have mamodos. Mamodos typically means that even today, in some places, they have mamad of moishev, which means when you take the oroin outside of the hearse, and then you, out of the hearse, and you go and take it towards the mokum kvura, they don't just rush it and put it into the hole, in the grave, but rather they go and stop every few seconds. Usually they say Yoishib Seser Elyon, and the Pasuk Ki Malach V'Yitzava Loch Shmorcha. So then they stop Ki, and then Malach V'Yitzava Loch. You've probably participated, and if you haven't, hopefully you'll never have to participate in Levai, you only go for Simchas.
It's seven stops, right?
Seven stops, that's correct. That's the typical minhag. Others do only three stops, and some don't even have this minhag at all, and they just take the mess directly to the cave. Anyway, so Yankel is a young man who's 20 years old says, I remember when I was 10 that Yankel, whenever he had such a family member who passed away, he would go and have the mamonis and hesped on Beryl's property, and therefore I am being made, says our Mishnah, ain odem neman. Why wouldn't he be believed? He's believed in all those other things. So Rashi says, because all those other things that we spoke about are isur v'heter. Here we're talking about it is a din of mominus. Does Yankel have a right of way and a right of automatic putting up my mother's and my shovels in somebody else's property? Now that's, you know, a financial interest. Beryl could presumably prohibit him from doing mamon and moishev and say, hey, this is my property. You want to rent my property to be a temporary chapel? That's fine. Pay me $500, you know, or something like that. So since we're talking about din of mominus, there he's not believed, only by Dina Isur. So Rashi says, then why don't we say the same thing, the guy, the Gabi the Ksuba, where he said, Ploinis Yotzebi Numa Varosha Perua, that's also mominous, is a Ksuba of 100 or 200? Says Rashi, because there Alpi Roiv Bisulois Nisois, Roiv Noshem Psulis Nisois, most marriages involve a first time marriage of a Psula, and because of that, this testimony of this young man is just a kind of extra, a luxury, extra gravy, but the icing on the cake. But really it's based on the fact that Roiv, women get married with the Psulois, so that's why we believe them when they say Yotzvi Noma. Okay, the Gemara is going to go through all the cases. Dokimor, Amar Rav Huda, Parei Rav Yeshua. When we said at the outset of the Mishnah that we believe a young man based on what he saw when he was a cotton, V'shiyesh Godel Imoy, it's not enough that he testifies on his own. There have to be two witnesses. The other witness had to have been a godoil at the time. So even though he was a cotton at the time, there's another aide who was a godoil at the time. The two together believed. Utsricha. And I need all the cases of Mishnah. Let's go to the Ksav Yad case. The Ashminan Oviv, that he says, I remember the handwriting of my father, Mishum the Shchich Gavei. Presumably he went in and out of his father's room at all times. So when his father wrote a letter, his father wrote a tshuva, he was writing Divrei Torah, whatever he was writing, so he saw his father writing and he recognizes the handwriting. Av Rabbi Eloi, by his Rebbe, he wasn't such a frequent flyer like his father, so maybe he's not believed. V'yashmina Rabbi Mishum Isle Emsa the Rabbi. Anytime he was in his Rabbi's presence, he wasn't just running around, he had a certain degree of fear and trepidation, of respect for his rabbi. So therefore he probably saw his rabbi writing and he looked very carefully and he focused on it, etc. So that's how he knew the Ksav Yad of Avulai. By his father, whenever he was running in and out, perhaps he didn't pay any attention. So I would have thought not. V'yashmina Hanitarti, of the Sheikh Gabe, Virabi the Islay Aimse. That's why he's believed. Avul Achim Delesle Loiha Fuloiha. His brother, however, he doesn't have any particular respects for his brother. As you'll know, sibling rivalry. Younger brothers typically don't care that much about their older brothers. There's no Aimse. And there's not as Sheikh Gabe as by Aviv. So I would think Aimalai, Kamashwa, and that's why we have all three. Now, Taka, why all three do we allow him to be Meir? And this is going to be the theme throughout the rest of our Gemara till the end of today's daf, until the end of the perek, that all of these are drabanan dikka issues, and therefore, if you have to go meyed on a toira dikka thing, then I would not believe a gadol who saw it when he was a katan. Why? Because when he was a katan, he was immature, he doesn't really know what was going on, therefore, he would not be believed. Now the question is, why is Kiyam Shtaris Drabanan, says Rashi? Because, like we said in the Gemara already a few days ago, the Eidim HaChasumim Aleshtar Nasa Kemish Nechre Dusan Bebesin, when people are signed on the bottom of the Shtar, it's as if they testified in Besin, so you don't really need to do Kiyam Shtaris Min HaTayra. It's only because the Loive or the mocher, or someone is challenging the shtar, okay, the din of kiyam shtaris, let's go and verify the signatures, let's authenticate the signatures. But on the normal circumstances, min ha-toira, the din toira is over already, the two already made in Bezdin, because nasa kemishin nechre dusan Bezdin, so kiyam to rabbanan, by rabbanan they will make. Right, zohar yisim plenish yotzim b'inum of roish perua, my taima, why do we believe him? We don't even really need his testimony, like we said before. He's just going and being mefarsim. If you look at the last Rashi, two lines to the bottom, Rashi, you don't even need edus because 90% of the time marriages are psulai. It's good, it's kind of extra icing on the cake that we have this young man saying, yes, I remember she went out b'inuma. So if anybody afterwards challenges the psak din of this peasant, they'll say, no, not only is it based on Roif, but Yankel Smith, he remembers, he was there at the chasana, and he says he saw Yotze b'inuma. So it's just really an extra support for the peasant's psak. Says Yimara, v'dumik evit koinu. Maybe that ploini in the Beis HaSefer that went every day to go to Truma, maybe he wasn't a koyin, he was an Eved koyin. And if this Eved was ever Mishuchrar, he's no longer entitled to eat Truma. He's now considered to be a Ger and a Yisrael. He's not letting Truma. So how is he believed to go and say that this fellow can eat Truma? Maybe he was an Eved. The Chayra have a good riot to Rav Shimon Levi. You're allowed to, even your Eved Kanani, who is Mechuyev B'mitzvois, but you cannot sit down and learn Torah with him, and therefore, by definition or by extension, don't send him to a Beis HaSefer to go and learn Torah. So the Chayra, good to riot. Frank, you're telling me an Eved Kanani cannot go and learn Torah? But Tani will learn that a Braisa. Love a rabbi, Oisha, so a rabbi apoitra. Apotropis. What happens if a rabbi borrowed money from his Eved? Wow, that's kind of turning things on their head. But the Eved had money, and the rabbi says, I'm borrowing money from you. Or his rabbi appointed the Eved to be an apotropis, to be a guardian, to be an executor of an estate. Or the Eved was wearing tefillin in front of his rabbi. Or he was learning Torah. That's why we're bringing this price. He was learning Torah based on Knesset. Har is Eliyot Zelechayers. Don't say based on this circumstantial evidence, he must have been freed, because if he wouldn't be free, why would his rabbi borrow money from him? Why would he appoint him to be a guardian? Why would he be learning Torah? No. He could still be an Eved. You have no proof positive that he has been free. Anyway, what do I see from this? That Eved Kanani can learn Torah. And you said that a person should not teach his Eved Torah. Eved the Gemara, Hasum Dikri, Eved Midatoi. And Chanami, the father, not the father, the master of this Eved should not teach him Torah. But if the Eved goes into Shul and he takes out an art scroll Chumash and he starts learning Torah on himself, by himself, he has the English translation, he's learning one for the other. No, but you can't stop him. And if he did that, that is not a simon that he has been freed. he might still be an Eved, but the rabbi didn't teach him Torah, he learned on his own. Ki Kamrinan, where do we say that Rabbi Shuben Levi said, and that the Mishnah said, that I saw that this young fellow went to the Beis HaSefer, and I know that he's a Kohen, he's not an Eved, Ki Kamrinan to Kanoig Bei Minig Banim, if you learn with your Eved like you learn with your son, or you send them to school like you send your children to school, that you're not allowed to do. However, if he wants to learn on his own, that's okay, we don't stop him. Anyway, so bottom line is, so when this Yanko Smith testified about this fellow, that he would go every single day with his father to the mikveh and go and eat truma at night, it cannot be that he was an Eved Kohen, he has to be a real Kohen, because an Eved Kohen you wouldn't go and send to school to go and learn Torah. Right, it says in the Mishnah, Lipa Lechel Betruma, Betruma Drabanim. Where is he believed about the Kohen? Truma Drabanim. As like we said by Kiyam Shtaris Drabanim, all of the cases, says the Gemara, is Truma Drabanim, because the Araisa, we would not trust this young man, even though he's the most trustworthy person in town. However, he's being made as the things he saw when he was a katan. Therefore, the Araisa, he would not be believed, but Truma Drabanim, he is believed. Maybe the fact that he went and got truma, he was an Eved Kohen. This is a famous machlokes which we had not too long ago in Mesechtes Yevamos. If a person comes, if an Eved Kohen comes to the Goyren and he says, I want to have some truma, don't give him truma unless his rabbi is with him. What's the issue? The issue is because if you're going to allow an Eved Kohen to get Truma ala Goyren, then subsequently somebody might be Mala Mitruma Liyachsin. They're going to testify about this fellow. Oh, he must be a Kohen. Otherwise, why did they give him Truma al HaGoyren? Without realizing because he was an Eved, but not because he was a Kohen. He was an Eved Kohen. Now that's a Machloikis. Whether or not Cholkin or Ein Cholkin Truma Eved Kohen Rabbi Imai, and what are Mishnah is telling us, our Mishnah holds like the Mandi Yomar that you do not give Truma to an Eved unless his rabbi is with him. So, since he testified that this fellow came alone to the Goyren to go and get Truma, Muzdach saying that he's a Koyen and not an Eved Koyen. This side we learn that a Brice. Ein Cholka Truma Eved on Kain, Rabbi Imay Dibber Rabbi Yehuda. Rabbi Yehuda says, only if his rabbi is with him. Rabbi Yossi Oymi Yachal Hushi Oymar. Why can't the Eved Kohen say, Mamanavshach, you're not sure whether I'm a Kohen or an Eved Kohen. Im Kohen ani, tenu li bishvil, that's me, ich bin doch a Kohen. And if you say the Im Eved Kohen ani, tenu li bishvil rabbi, then I'm going to go and take the truma, not for myself, for my master, who's a Kohen. So what's the problem? Says, you might tell you the problem. Bim Kohen bishvil rabbi yudo, yimal mi truma li yachsin. If there was a shalu, whether or not a person was a Kohen or not, so, they tried to go and bring proof. And one of the proofs that they would bring is that he would get Truma al HaGoyren. No, since they were Malami Truma Liyachsin, you cannot allow for an Eved Kohen to come by himself because then they're going to testify and say, oh, he got Truma, he must be a Kohen. And really, he's only an Eved Kohen. However, in Rabbi Yossi's place, if a person would come into Bezin and there's a shaila whether this fellow is a Kohen or not, and I go and testify that I saw him collecting Truma al HaGoyren, they would say, that is not a Raya. Why is that not a Raya? Because maybe it was an Eved Kohen. Because in Rabbi Yossi's region where he lived, they used to go and send the Eved Kohen on his own without Rabbi Imai. And in fact, Imai tells us a story, and we have this back in Yevamos, as you recall, Tani Amr Blaza Bereb Yoisi, Miyomalei Adati. From the day that I became bar mitzvah, I never said Eidus in a courtroom. Pam Achasei Adati. One time, I was called and summoned to go and testify, and I testified. And guess what? Vehelu Eved Lekuna Al Pi. And based on my testimony, unfortunately, there was a terrible boo-boo. What was the boo-boo? They were Malan Eved, a former Eved Kohen, Lekuna, they said, he's a Kohen, when really he was not, he was an Eved Kohen. And if he was Mishuchrar, and he became a Ger, then he's the Yisrael, but he doesn't have a din of a Kohen. And because of my testimony, unfortunately, there were Mala Eved Lekuna. Zokti Mora, Helu Solka Daitach, Is that possible that the great Reb Lozer, Reb Yossi, such a nichshol should have come out from him? We know from the famous chamor of Pinchas ben Yair, the Kodesh Baruch Hu doesn't allow that chamor to be over on Isurim. And therefore, Tzadikim Atzimah Lekoshke, the Kodesh Baruch Hu certainly is going to be matzal Reb Lozer, Reb Yossi from having Chas V'Sholem Eitakola. Ella, what Reb Lozer, Reb Yossi meant to say was, Bikshu Lahalis Evelikun Alpi, that based on my testimony, they wanted to. Ultimately, they didn't. HaKadosh Baruch Hu saved the day, and he sent other Edim to establish the veracity of whether this person is a Kohen or an Eved Kohen. So Baruch Hashem, nothing happened. But Lamasa, how could this have occurred? Says, well, I'll tell you. Because Choz B'Asad Reb Yossi, Reb Lozer Reb Yossi, who presumably was the son of Reb Yossi, was presumably living or visiting in the region of Reb Yossi. And in the region of Reb Yossi, we said that they allowed for an Eved Kohen to go and get Truma ala Goyren without Rabboi Imoy. But in the place of Reb Yossi, it wasn't a problem. Because if someone testified in a Bezdin in Reb Yossi's region, Lo hayimalin mitruma liyachsin. So there was not an issue. However, he was summoned and he testified of Ozal ba'asid ba'asid Reb Yehuda. When Reb Yehuda, they were mala mitruma liyachsin, but in Reb Yehuda's region, they were very careful not to allow an Eved to get truma on his own. He always had to have Rabboi Imoy. So says Yimar, the combination of these two facts, the fact that he was in Reb Yossi's region when he saw this fellow go and take truma, he could have been an Eved Kohen. However, in Reb Yossi's region, they allowed an Eved Kohen to go on his own. But in Reb Yossi's region, they would not be Mala Mitruma Liyachsin. However, he went and said Edis in Reb Yehuda's region, and there they did not allow a Kohen to go on, an Eved Kohen to go on his own. He always had to go with Rabbi Imai. And Blazer Reb Yossi says, there was no Rabbi Imai. He was all by himself. He must have been a Kohen. He really was an Eved Kohen. But the place of Reb Yehuda, since they wouldn't allow anyone to go on his own if he was an Eved, so in Reb Yehuda's place, the fact that a person came on his own, you could go and testify, Mala Mitruma Liyachsin. However, they wouldn't allow an Eved to go by himself. That's why the Gemara says, he had to see it in Reb Yehuda's region, and he testified in Reb Yehuda's region, but Baruch Hashem, he was not Nichshel, because eventually Edom came and established the veracity of whether this person is a Kohen or an Eved Kohen or not. Right, Shemokam Azeh Beis Pras. He's also believed to go and say that this place is Beis Pras. My time, what's the reason why? Because Beis Pras is the Rabban. Now, what is a Beis Pras? As we've had often in Shas, a Beis Pras means that there was a field, that we know there was a caver in that field. The caver was not marked. Maybe originally it was marked and the marker fell away. And ultimately this field was nechrash. It was plowed. And the assumption is that it was plowed so well that there are no longer contiguous bones to go and become tummy be'ohel, to be mild on a mess. You have to have roiv minyan or roiv binyan of the skeleton intact. But because of the plowing, the assumption is that there are bones all over, and therefore a person won't be metame be'ohel, but if he walks in that beis pras, there's a good chance, a good likelihood that he's going to step on a stone or kick a stone, not a stone, he's going to step on a bone or kick a bone, and therefore he's going to become tame. And that's why they said, a base of pras, I have chshash, up to 100 amas in each direction, and it's tame midraban. Okay, so therefore on this youngster who said at 10 years old, remember this was a base of pras, he's believed because a base of pras is tame midraban. There are Shmuel, because the chshash of having a bone that is metame is a drabanan. Maybe the person is walking, is not touching any bones. We extended it up to 100 amas in each direction. So midraban, the rabbanan said, I have an etza. Go and take one of those bellows. Bellows is such a blower that you can take in your hands and blow in front of you as you're walking through the field. And then you can go through the field, because by using these bellows to go and blow things on the ground, any potential bone that's there will be blown away. So you see, it's drabon. Rav Yehuda Bar Amar Mishmei de Rav Yehuda Amar Pesach Prasha Nidosh Tohar. What happens if after it was plowed, it was Nidosh? Nidosh means that there was a lot of foot traffic, that people walked on this ground for a while. So therefore, any bone that was left was not left intact. It was crushed by the foot traffic. Then Tohar, the Tumah of the Beis HaPras, leaves it totally. My timer, because he actually had some Kisoyish Lo Nidosh Baregel. The minimum for Tumas Maga by an Etzem is Kisoyir. Soyir means like the size of a barley corn. So if the field was only Nechrash, it was only plowed, then I'm afraid that you might have bones which are larger than the Soyir. But if it's not only Nechrash, but it was also Nidash, a lot of foot traffic, then you can assume that any bone that remains is very, very small, and it's no longer Metame, even B'Magr B'Mas. We also believe this child that Kana Yir Boim B'Shabbos, we used to go and walk until here on Shabbos, Kasav B'Tchumin Drabanan, he holds that the dinner of Tchumin is Midrabanan, since it's only Drabanan, he's believed. I know Barry's thinking, Rabbi Kiva holds Tchumin D'Araisa, yeah, so we're going according to, not according to Rabbi Kiva, we hold Tchumin Drabanan, that's why he's believed to go and be Meyed, the Tchum ended here. My timer, based on the edus of this youngster, that he saw it when he was 10 years old, you want to be moitzi mamain, in other words, you want to decide financial matters, who has the right of way on this property, who owns the property that he can go and always put together a temporary chapel whenever there's a levaya. This is mamanous issues, financial issues. For that, we don't believe this fellow who saw it when he was a cop. Tonerban. So now we have a brisa which has another list of items that the child is believed. I remember that my father used to tell me, you see that family, the Smith family, they're a bunch of Tahirim. The Jones family, a bunch of Tameyim. The Frey Timara, Tahirim, Tameya, Solchadaitach. What does it mean that a family is Tahir or Tameh? If they're all Tameh, let them go to the mikveh and become Tahir. What does this mean, Torah to me? El mishpacha zu ksheir, mishpacha zu psula. That this mishpacha is a kosher mishpacha. There's no mamzerus, there's no chalolim, there's no zoinim or zoinais. It's a good, fine family. And this mishpacha, unfortunately, psula, there are problems with potential mamzerus or other issues. Mishachalim b'ktsotza shobas ploini l'ploini. And I remember that we ate by the ktsotza. What means a ktsotza? We'll see that on the bottom of the Omer. The Gemara is going to address what the ktsotza is. I remember when I was a kid that my father used to go and send me every time we baked bread or chalas or matzahs. So my father and my mother would go and set aside a certain portion for challah, and we had to deliver that challah to the kohen, or we had to go and deliver matonos like zroya lechiyim vakeva from a geshocht and an animal we have to give to the kohen. I was sent as the shliach to go and deliver. It's got to be Ayyidei Atzmai, that he himself delivered it, so therefore he has a much better focus and memory. Avlo Yidei Achei, he shouldn't go and say that my father always sent my brother. That already would be more speculative. But there he says, I remember, I took the challah myself, I took the matanas myself. The kulanim hoyo evig chom in iskayir, evin ishtachar ein nemanim. Instead of talking about a katan that became a gadol, who's able to testify, even though by ger we always say it's ki, cotton should know the dummy, but that's only halachically, that's not physically. So therefore, if this ger was originally a goy, or gerim originally goyim, and the ger is now testifying, I remember when I was a goy, I saw X, Y, and Z, etc., he is not believed. Ein neman. And we'll see in the Gemara why. Vein neman loimar derechay leplayim makam azeh, maim nam misperay leplayim makam azeh, like we said in our Mishnah, because this is in Yonei Mamanis, Rabbi Yochanan ben Brayka, Omer Nemanah, they are believed after all. Now, what are we believed about? What's the belief? Rabbi Yochanan ben Brayka, hi. In which case? Ilei Masef, on the last case, on the case of the Derech Hayil Aploini, Maman Mispar Hayil Aploini, Afukim Amoinahu. How can you go and trust the testimony of a child who was 10 years old at the time and say, because of that, we're going to allocate financial matters based on his testimony? He was only a cotton. Ella Reisha, it's going on the Reisha. That what? On the Reisha, the earlier cases about Mishpacha Tahira, Mishpacha Tmeya, and things of that nature. Rabbi Yochanan Breika says that, I'm sorry, no, not on that case. Rather, in the case of the ger, in the Reisha, the Tanakhama said that if you're talking about a ger who's testifying as to events that occurred when he was still a goy or still an eved, he's not believed. Rabbi Yochanan Breika, even though Neman is believed. What's the machlekes? Since at that time he was a goy, he could care less about the various matters we spoke about in this brisa, whether or not chalu umatonis were given to a kohen, is given to Yisrael. The kohen says, who cares chala and truma and matonis? You know, that's a Jewish business. It's nothing to do with me. So he could care less. Assuming that he had in mind to go meet Megayer at that time, he was talk only 10 or 11, but he had friends that were Yidden, and he says, wow, the Jewish religion is such a wonderful, beautiful religion, I love it, I want to become a Geris. And then he would focus on a lot of the details, and he would have a good memory after all, and that's the Machlekes. Now, one of the things that we enumerated was that the person says, I remember when I was a child that we ate from the Ktsotza, and we said, Vus mein Ktsotza? So it's Yomara, my Ktsotza, Tadarabana. What happens if you have one of the brothers of a family married a woman that was not tsugepast? Not tsugepast doesn't mean just mean that she was, you know, a different class. Maybe we're talking about kehanim and she chas v'shalom was a grusha or potential zoyna or something that there was a halachic problem. Since it was a halachic problem, the rest of the family was ashamed of this brother. Moreover, they were concerned about that this brother afterwards and his family would kind of intermingle and intermix and assimilate with the rest of the family, and therefore they wanted to go and make a public declaration, we will have nothing to do with that family member because he is ruining the yichus of the mishpach. So, what the family would do to make a public statement and a public proclamation, they didn't just put up ads in the paper or put up placards on the sides of buildings or something like that, put up signs, but rather they brought a chavius, a barrel full of peiros. V'shoyver ois of emzer chavin, they would break it in the middle of the street. V'oimrin, achenu beis Yisrael, shimu, listen, achinu or achenu, ploini, nosa ishi sheheinu geresle. Our brother Yankel married a lady that he should not have married to. And we are afraid. He's going to have children, and those children are going to play with our children. After all, they're going to be cousins and all the rest. And then afterwards, they might come to get married. And there's the problem of Yichus in the wife that he married. And therefore, go and take one of these fruits. We just broke it open, this big barrel of fruits. Everybody take an apple and bring it home. This will be a dugma. Rashi says dugma means an ois v'simen, like a souvenir. People remember this for generations. I remember 50 years ago about the broken barrel and the rolling apples, and I took an apple and I took it home and I asked my parents, what is this all about? And they explained to me the whole geschäft. Now, this is the type of tzotze that a child can go and testify, not when he's a child, but when he grows up. He can go and say, I remember when I was 10 years old that I got an apple from the Ktsotza from that situation. Halach Ishin Sarmala, Halach Ishin Sarmala, Halach Ishin Sarmala. Mechim will start tomorrow, new perek. Eilin Aroi Sheesh Len Knaz. Have a good day, Rabbi Sai. Zai Gebench, Zai Gesund.